So I'm just wondering, the email that you sent me, you don't know anything about the Peterborough nuclear cluster that is planned?
If you want details about it, what the plans exactly are, you should call the local development office.
Well, yeah, I mean, I will be doing that, but I'm just in terms of the nuclear cluster interested from the CNSC's point of view. I'd like to know what the CNSC knows about the planned nuclear cluster in my area.
We're not the right source of information for you. We can respond to your license to the questions you might have about licensing. But if you want
so are there,
about the regional development and the development of the industry in general in your area, I would suggest that you give a call to the Canadian Nuclear Association and also the you know, your local officials, and
okay,
to let you know exactly what the plans are and what's the strategy behind it, if there is one.
Can you, do you recommend a specific person at the Nuclear Association?
Just a minute. I can give you one contact.
Okay.
Kathy Nolson. Just a minute.
And have...
You can give her a call. I'll check if they have a free number. Number for them right now, but so it's 613 237 4262.
Mm-hmm.
And her extension is 106.
Okay.
You can also write to her at Olson, OLSONK, for Kathleen,
mm-hmm.
all in one word, at CNA, the Canadian Nuclear Association, .ca. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, from just an industry perspective, she will probably be able to, you know, give you some kind of background or what, who to give you other names of people to contact to learn about regional plans for the development of a cluster.
Okay, and what is a cluster exactly? A nuclear cluster?
Well, usually cluster, you have them. I also work for a bank before in communications, and usually it's about, you know, just a concentration of industries. And so, you know, in one of my jobs, I had to look at the cluster for aerospace, so in the Montreal area. So you have, for instance, the original equipment manufacturer. That would be your Bombardier that would do, or your reactor maker, like, or designer, like AECL. And so mm-hmm. they do the main product. But below them, you've got the whole chain, right, of suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got tier one, tier two, tier threes. And, you know, all of them are involved in the supply chain towards making the final product. Now you also have all kinds of, I don't know if you would refer to having the presence of, you know, different kinds of suppliers that are not directly involved in making, you know, a product or a related product, but that are part of the same industry as a cluster. For instance, like if you have companies that manufactures tritium lights and Rolls Royce, for instance, they do different equipment for the maintenance and the fuel handling. So I don't know, you know, those two companies, they do two things that are very different from each other. So I don't know if, you know, technically you can call that cluster, and how many companies do you exactly need to make a cluster? Well, it's a bit, you know, there's probably some kind of formal definitions for it. But, you know, anyway,
okay, but in terms of the Canadian nuclear safety perspective, I'm wondering, I know that there's, like, annual release limits for certain polluters or certain nuclear installations that have licenses, but at any time do we consider the siting as an issue of how much radiation is already in the environment from other members of the nuclear industry in our area? Or do we just look at it, each company is allowed to let out into the environment a certain amount of radiation, and it doesn't matter how many companies there are doing that, or at what point do we get to know what is the cumulative radiation from all of the radioactive sources in our region?
The environment, yeah. I think in the license you'd look at it from the emission of the one particular entity. Now, in terms of having a cumulative effect, well, especially in the Peterborough area, I don't know how many, you know, you really have that have, you know, when you talk about cumulative effect, the Rolls-Royce, they do not produce or use nuclear material.
Sure, but right now we have Shield Source and we have General Electric low-level fuel bundling, yep. And we're talking about up to 25 new companies interested in forming a cluster. So what is the mechanism, I'm asking from you, that we don't look at just the individual releases, but we look at the total exposure to a person living in the environment from all of the releases of all these companies?
Yeah, I understand your question. I can ask to see what the exact answer is on this. Now, if you look at both companies, they're in terms of releases, they only emit very small amounts of what they're allowed to. So even if you have
you know that's not true. You know that that Shield Source was shut down for releasing very large amounts, actually going above their yearly annual limits.
Well, they've shut down because there was a discrepancy between they were estimating that they were calculated, and then when they got that third party reassessment, and they found that there was a big mismatch. But I can certainly look into. Different companies that emit radiation and how that would be reported or considered in establishing the limits.
Okay, so you understand the question then?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I do.
Okay, and so can you tell me what's going on with Shield Source? Is it planning on applying to restart its processing in Peterborough?
I can also ask for a little update on this. I haven't heard of them in a little while. Just a minute. I haven't heard of any plan to close it down permanently. I know they postponed the hearing into the relicensing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if...
But I don't think there's any plan to shut it down.
So, but if they've gone over their limits, which is what the discrepancy would suggest, is there any penalty or fine that a company would receive, or has a nuclear company in Canada ever received a fine or a penalty by the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission?
No, that's something that's being established by the government. They've asked the CNSC to establish a fine schedule for nuclear companies that are licensed by the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, and that was in the, you know, that's been announced by the government. Now we are only in the process of starting the process to put that regulation in place.
So would that regulation?
We don't have the authority to issue fines, but in the near future we expect to.
So
there's an expectation that this will happen.
So who has the authority to issue a fine for a violation of the one's nuclear radioactivity release limit?
There are a number of agencies that already issue fines. I know, I think Environment Canada issues some. There might be some provincial ministries that have the authority to issue fines related to environmental concerns or environmental releases or infringements.
Can you provide me with a list of those and tell me?
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm not there to do all your research. But
well, no. This is. I'm sorry. I live in this area, and there's a huge. They went over their Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission's release limit. So I'm not asking you to do my research. I'm asking you to
You're asking me for a list of all the agencies that are in Canada for environmental violations.
Well, should the CNSC not be notifying these if this in the absence of the CNSC's ability to release fines and in the absence of a fine schedule by the CNSC for the industry that it regulates itself, should it not be in contact with other responsible authorities who are able to issue fines?
Well, we're certainly taking actions to prevent any risk to the public and the environment. I mean, the fine is a penalty, but the most important is to take the right action, right, to protect the public and to protect the environment. And right now, the plant is shut down, and there will be an assessment of what needs to be done and what corrections need to be done also to the reported dose to the public in the past. In terms of health risk, I don't think there's much of a concern.
I know you're not qualified to say this, and I'm not qualified to say it either. But last time you told me that no one eats those apples, and that the apples were right next door, but they're actually 4.5 kilometers from Shield Source, tested at 800 becquerels. That's not a protective limit, and that is a health risk right there.
Well, there are some criteria for tritium in food and tritium in water. And for instance, Health Canada, the guidelines for tritium in water and drinking water is 7,000 becquerel per liter now.
And why hasn't the CNSC adopted the Ontario Drinking Water Advisory Council's 15 becquerel per liter limit, as the joint review panel for Darlington has recommended adopting? Why, if the joint review panel at Darlington has made the recommendation to adopt the Ontario drinking water standard of 15 becquerels per liter, why has the CNSC not adopted 15 becquerels per liter? You're quoting 7,000, but 7,000 and 15 seem a bit different.
That's a recommended figure by Health Canada.
What is the recommended figure?
7,000.
But you also know that there's
that there shouldn't be any drinking water with over 7,000 becquerels per liter.
But you're aware of the Ontario Drinking Water Advisory's recommendation of 15 becquerels per liter. There's a huge discrepancy. It's 20?
Yep.
Okay, so
we're aware of that. And around nuclear facilities, all the drinking water is below that. These amounts. So
below 20.
Overall, the right measures are in place to protect the public to protect the drinking water sources.
You know what? So how is tritium tested in the environment in the air? Is it a Geiger counter, or what kind of tritium testing machine is there?
I can try to find you how exactly they do the analysis, but I know, for instance, close to the nuclear power plants, because they are tritium emitters, they do look at tritium levels at the purification plant. So when they get the water out of Lake Ontario, or they look at tritium levels, and it's happened in the past. Once, you know, there was a spill, I think in 19. I have to look at it.
92.
There was a spill, I think, in 1996 or something like this, and you know the water treatment plant did find an elevated amount of tritium in the water for a short period of time.
Well, now, what about the most recent spills? Can you tell me about them?
What do you mean? Which recent spill?
Wasn't there one at the Bruce just recently?
The one at the Bruce. And pump it through a loop. That's part of the emergency water system. And when they pushed the water out, they tested the water to make sure that, you know, there wasn't any abnormal level of contamination due to just contact with the piping, and they found some levels of trillions, but that weren't necessarily expected because of the location of these pipes.
Okay, and here's a question. If the applicant has knowingly misled the commission, is there any penalty for that, or is there anything established if an applicant misleads the commission?
Well, for misleading knowingly or purposely misleading the commission or our staff there, you might want to take a look at the act.
The act, okay. So.
Our consult, maybe, I don't know if you're one of the organizations, I don't know, do you belong to one of the NGOs, or some of them, I know the employers, they might be able to advise you on what the act says about.
Sure, yes, I do. Another thing, so basically this, just to confirm.
Sure, I understand. So I am to find out for you, what did you want? You wanted information.
So
you had different companies. How that would affect the setting of the release limits, right?
Yeah, and on like the dose exposure on a person living in that area, as opposed to the allowable limits from individual companies.
Yep.
In terms of that, why are we citing them here? Right? Like, I mean, you probably, it would be very unwise to take, you know, every single nuclear reactor on the continent and have built them all in one province or state and then just transfer all the energy. There's a reason why they're spread out, right? To deliver energy better, but also you wouldn't do that because of the, you know, you just wouldn't do that. So I'm just wondering, in terms of citing a cluster, if it's going to be taken into account, the cumulative dose exposure.
Because when they talk about clusters, sometimes it's just, let's say, you know, they make the parts of the reactors, or they make parts of systems, or they make, you know, systems, or not necessarily dealing with the nuclear material.
Okay.
So...
So can you confirm for me
sort of my understanding of what, you know, what a an industrial cluster is. So you know, if you have you know, a group of companies that is working with larger equipment manufacturers that make, you know, I don't know, big vessels, or maybe even can do energy for part of the reactors they design, maybe. You know, a lot of the companies that would be involved are not dealing with nuclear material. They're dealing with, you know, they're making pieces in metal. They're making pieces in...
Okay, I understand.
All kinds of systems.
So, and can you confirm for me in writing whether the commission has considered how Shield Source may be fined, if they've thought of pursuing Shield Source, or if...
Well, I can tell you that we do not have the regulations in place to issue fines.
And have...
That's full stop.
But has the CNSC shared its information with local responsible authorities who do have the ability to give a fine? Okay, and just the last question is, I'm just drawing a blank here. With Shield Source, on Czech News, they said that there was a decommissioning fund that Shield Source pays into. With that, and apparently it only has $400,000 in it, but there's an estimated $800,000 decommissioning fund. Can you provide me the documents related to that decommissioning fund, and also let me know if the estimate is at all, when that estimate was made? Show me the documents that say why, like, that account for that $800,000 estimate. And also tell me what the like sort of liability of the company is. Do they hold an insurance policy? If so, can you tell me what sort of insurance policy they hold in our area? And also tell me if the...
I'm not sure I'll be able to answer all of those. You might want to call the company in.
Okay.
About all the insurance, I don't know.
Okay, so then...
I don't know if we've got all of that information about all the insurance.
So is the decommissioning...
The company would hold for different things.
Okay, is the decommissioning plan the CNSC...
The decommissioning fund and the decommissioning plan, that's within our mandate, but...
Okay, so...
Providing you information on all the, you know, the different policies that the particular company can... It's outside our mandate.
Okay, that's fine. So can you just give me an update on the decommissioning fund, why it only has $400,000, what's the rationale behind that, and also tell me if there's going to be an update or revision to the decommissioning fund based on the Kinetrix report on how much, on the discrepancy of the reporting of emissions.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure, Zach.
Okay, mine as well.
Bye.
Bye.